In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing in volume 26, 528, 1929. My daughter, my fiat has its prime act in our divinity. So here Jesus is, this is fun. Jesus says to Louisa in the volumes, Louisa, your new name in heaven will be my fiat. That's what he says to Louisa. So now listen to what he says. My daughter, my fiat has its prime act in our divinity. Now, the Lord loves to have fun. And here he's saying to Louisa that your new name in heaven is going to be my fiat. He's going to point to Louisa and say, there's my fiat. And we linked to Louisa, we'll also have that name. That name will be my fiat. And it's very, very clear. Jesus is going to say, there's my fiat. There's my fiat. There's my fiat in heaven. Because Jesus says, this is the greatest thing that a human can do, is live in the fiat to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So listen to what he says. My daughter, my fiat has its primary act in our divinity, its prime act in the creation and redemption and in all things. Therefore, it has its just right to dominate everything and to envelop everyone, all things, and to be the primary wheel that in moving moves everything around itself and all turn around it. So here Jesus is using this image of a clock, the main gear of the clock. As it turns all the other gears. And he says, the fiat is the prime act in divinity, the prime act of creation and redemption. Therefore, it has its right to dominate everything, to envelop everything, to be the primary wheel, so that in moving, it moves everything around it and all turn around this prime act of God. So one who takes my divinity as life takes everything. So this is what the divine will is. It's taking the divine will as our life, not the human will as our life, but the divine will as our life. Therefore, that soul, Jesus says, takes everything. And its primary wheel moves. All things give themselves to that soul. So much so that the soul has no need to ask as they turn around my divine will. They all give themselves to her. So here, Jesus is saying, the reason I created everything, the reason why I redeemed everyone, offering that to them, he says, it's for you, Louisa. He says to Louisa, he knew Adam was going to sin. He knew that his mother was going to be queen of heaven and earth. He knew that he was going to die on the cross. He knew this as God. He knew this. And yet he says, why I created all this, why I redeemed all of this, is so that humanity will have a new beginning. Humanity will, when Adam failed, I, as God and my mother, to redeem everyone, is now to get ready to begin a new and divine way of holiness. So he says this, therefore, in all things, give themselves to you, Louisa. He says, all of heaven recognizes you, Louisa. Now, why? The Father says, you want to see me? Look at my Son. Jesus says, you want to see the Father in me? Look at the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, when we look at Our Lady, we see God. She is the daughter of the Father. She's the mother of the Son. She's the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. It's always, you want to, Here I am, I'm a reflection of this. Here I am, I'm a reflection of this. And this is why he says, so the one who takes my divine will as life takes everything. So who is the one who, what is the human born of original sin that has taken the divine will as her life? And that is Louisa. Therefore, Louisa has no need to ask. They all turn around my divine will and all give themselves to Louisa. So since Adam was supposed to be the image and likeness of God and Adam fell, Jesus and Mary come to earth to redeem Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the mother of God, Theotokos, and now they have a newborn. Wait to see what God has planned for Louisa. This is the thing that's so beautiful that, you know, I feel sorry for those that don't want Our Lady as our mother and queen. I feel sorry for those who don't honor Our Lady. If they don't honor Our Lady, what's going to happen when Jesus shows us this little newborn, Louisa Picaretta? It's going to be delightful, to tell you the honest truth. It's going to be great. God is in charge. So listen to what he says. The most necessary thing is to take my divine will. If Louisa has done this, she has done everything. If we do this, we have done everything. So how do we learn how to do this? Through Louisa. She's done this. Her whole life, she didn't walk. She didn't eat. She didn't drink. She didn't sleep. Her whole life was focused on reading, studying, and putting this into practice. And Jesus now offers this to us. That doesn't mean we don't eat, drink, or sleep. It means she has done it. And Jesus says everything is completed. And then he says, now it needs to be known. What needs to be known? What does Jesus say? The most necessary thing is to take my divine will. And if Louisa has done this, she has done everything and has taken everything. Everything is Louisa's. It happens as to an engine. The primary wheel in the center of it moves and all the secondary wheels rotate as well. But if the primary wheel does not move, all remain motionless. And there is no power, no artisan who would have the virtue of moving the secondary wheels. But if the first one moves, the others rotate of their own and do their office. Jesus and Mary, this is why you should focus on the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Astonishing. He says to Louisa at one point, Louisa, did you write everything down that I told you? And Louisa says, yes, I wrote everything. That's us. That's our response. Yeah, oh, I did. And he says, what if I told you you didn't write about the most essential thing? That's in volume 17, May 4th, 1925. The most essential part of the divine will. She failed to write it. But then she wrote it. And it's for us to see. As you read volume 17, May 4th, 1925, you're getting the key to what God is going to bring about. It's really wonderful. So he says, okay. So all the secondary wheels rotate around him. If the primary wheel doesn't move, then all remains motionless. There's no power nor artisan that would have the virtue of moving the secondary wheels. But the first one, this is Louisa. She has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. She's the first one who possesses this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. She's the first one. The first one moves. The others, that's us, rotate of their own and do their office. So each of us has an office to do. Therefore, the attention and the art must be on the primary wheel. Everything else comes of its own. Such is my divine will. The one who possesses it, the human born of original sin that possesses it, has no need of anything. She's one with God. This is the life that Adam had. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. Wait till you see what God's going to do. Everyone on earth will want to be a baptized Catholic. What God is going to show us. So, I mean, as you read, you're going to see this. Volume 26, 6, 4, 1929. I was praying my round in the divine fiat, and I was gathering all created things and all acts of creatures to form one single act in the unity of the divine will. And my lovable Jesus added, my daughter, only my divine will possesses the one single act and its unity. It embraces everything. It does everything. It gives life to everything. Now you can see why John Paul II says the divine will is everything. He says it right here. One single act in the unity of the divine will embraces everything. The divine will does everything. It gives life to everything. It's a whole new beginning for humanity. But while it does one act alone, this act possesses the font of all the acts together, such that while they are effects of the single act, they spread in the whole of creation and descend for the good of humanity. As real acts, while in the unity of the single act of the divine fiat, it is always one act alone, so much so that it never detaches a single effect from itself, nor can it detach it, because all of the effects, this is a Sharon divinity, form the unity of its one single act. We're going to go back to the womb of the Father. This is what Jesus keeps on saying. So he says this, it happens as to the Son. One is the light, one is the single act, one is the light, one is the act of the light that it continuously sends to the earth. But as this one light touches the earth, the effects are innumerable and real. And this is so true that as the light touches the earth, one sees the effects change into acts. So, I mean, right now you see the flowers coming to bloom in the spring. You're seeing the flowers on the tree is getting ready to produce fruit. It's always be fruitful and multiply. In such a way that one can see the variety of colors of the flowers, the diversity of the sweetness for the fruits, and many other things. Has the sun perhaps lost even one of the many effects that, as real acts, it has communicated to the earth? No, Jesus says. Jealous, it preserves them within its single act of light, more so since the strength and the fullness of the single act of light are formed and all of all the effects that it possesses. So, the sun, basically, is the symbol of my divine will. This light, without this light, there is darkness. Without the divine will, it's darkness. Without this light, there is no fruit. There's no flowers. There's nothing. It's nothing can grow. The divine will, Jesus says, it's a symbol of how great the divine will is. Possessing innumerable effects, it gives them to the earth as real acts without losing even one of them, and it does always one single act. If the Son, created by us, Triune God, does this, much more so does this great gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, the gift of the divine will. We haven't seen anything yet. God is going to manifest to the earth this new and divine way of holiness. And he's asking us, are you ready for what I'm going to do? Now, the sad part, everybody says yes, but nobody's ready. He says, I'm going to show you the way and the how this is going to happen. And we go, okay, good. He goes, read, study, put this book into practice. This is the way and the how it's going to happen. So a lot of people are spinning their wheels saying, oh, this is going to happen and that's going to happen and this is this and that. And this, like somebody said it the other day, what's the order? Is it the 3 days of darkness and then the warning and then the miracle? And then if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But Jesus shows us the way and the how the divine will is going to work. And the more we learn the way and the how, the more we'll understand what God is going to present to the earth in the right order, and not to be afraid. Do you think we have to go to what are we supposed to do? Go to refuges? If refuges were important, Jesus would have said that to Louisa. That's how I look at it. Anything that Jesus says to Louisa, I take as fact. Everything else out there, it's all speculation. So Jesus is asking us, he's saying, are you ready to begin to live this abundant life? You know, the 10 secrets, what are they? How do they happen? Jesus says, this is the way and the how the divine will is going to reign. That's all I care about. The other thing else is all speculation. How many times, I remember back in 1964, my first year in the seminary, and it was minor seminary, and a friend of mine, Jeff Ganey, came up, and Jeff said, Jesus is coming back. And I went, well, what do you mean? Isn't he in the tabernacle? Isn't he in the tabernacle? What do you mean he's coming back? I never heard this before. And he says, no, he's coming back as king, as Lord. And I went, where are you getting this? I mean, where's he gone? I mean, he's in the tabernacle. That's where he is, you know? And ever since then, since 1964, it was September of 1964. And ever since then, I've been waiting. And it's been a terrible long wait, but at the same time, with this gift of the divine will, everything makes sense. Everything that's happening in the world is understandable. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be anxious about. It's nothing to be worried about. It's nothing to be complaining about. It's nothing to be negative about. It's fiat. Lord, you're in charge. You've got everything planned, and you're going to do this. My trust, my confidence is in God and God alone. If I'm alive when all this happens, great. If I'm not, great. Whatever God wants is great. He's in charge. Not me. Not what I want. And everything that we've gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is helped us come to this point. And it's to surrender to God so that God becomes God. And that's what Jesus is waiting for. He's waiting for us to let him be God. So he says, now, my daughter, by doing his human will, Adam went out from the unity of mind, and all his acts lost that strength of divine unity and remained scattered, some at one point, some in another, and divided among themselves. These human acts not having the unity of the light, unity of the love, unity of the life of God, have no fonts of effects, no fullness of light. Therefore, they are symbolized by those plants and flowers that grow without sun. And because they are scattered and divided among themselves, they do not have a lasting strength. They grow as meager and faded. So by doing his human will, Adam lost the unity of my holy divine will. And that's what Jesus wants to give back to humanity. Jesus wants to give back to humanity his divine will. He as Lord, as King, as Master, he is everything. And when we do our own human will, it's misery. And that's what Jesus is showing. He says, if you're not in the fullness of light, growing without sun, they are scattered and divided among themselves. They do not have lasting strength and grow as mere and faded. So by doing his human will, Adam lost the unity with my most holy divine will. Adam loses the font of life. Adam loses the fullness of light. Jesus is returning that to us now. He says, now is the time that this is all going to fall into place. We are alive at this time because God has predestined us to have the book of heaven. He didn't give this to the saints. He gave it to us. Why? He wants us to return to the font of life and the fullness of light. Now, the one who lives in my divine will, Jesus says, keeps gathering all the goods scattered by humanity and forms one single act, and these acts become the right of the soul who does and lives in my divine fiat. So this is our right. Okay, we've learned how to do the will of God by the saints. Now Jesus is saying, it's your right now to receive the life of this great gift. And he says very, very clearly, he says, Louisa has gathered all the goods scattered by the creatures. Louisa forms one single act, and these acts become the right of Louisa and the souls who want to do the will of God, who want to live in the divine will. That's our job. That's our office that God has called humanity to return to. So Jesus says, we are the ones that have been given this gift so that we can bring all of humanity back to God. Now, again, everybody has their free will, but Jesus said to Louisa, humans, basically, humanity doesn't want the will of God. He says, well, you want the will of God. Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want this. Your coworkers don't want it. Even your parishioners don't want this. Divine will, I've got my saint. Thank you. Divine will, I'm doing divine mercy. Divine will, I don't really. And it's I don't need that. Jesus is offering this to us. Why? He says, because the majority of humanity cannot live in the divine will because their human will is so strong. They don't want to give it up. We want to give up our human will. Like Jesus says, we want to enter into our nothingness. We want to possess nothing. We want our cup completely empty so God can fill it with divinity. That's what he says to Louisa. I want to fill you to overflowing. So he's asking us, would you be willing to give this to your family? And when we say yes, he goes, good. Now prove it. What does that mean? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. To begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. To live a life filled with hope and confidence in God and trust in God. When we see something bad, we say, I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. Thank you for showing this to me. I'm sorry you're going through this. Lord, I want to repair this. I want to redo this as if this sin never happened. I want to repair this to give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that you, God, so rightly deserve. So Jesus says this, what enters into my divine will loses its own life in the divine will. That's our nothing. We have to live in our nothingness. I'm not doing this to become a saint. I'm not doing this for me. I want nothing. All I want is what God wants. All I want is that God be known, God be loved, God be possessed. What enters into my divine will loses its own life in it. It forms one same life with the divine will. It loses the right to go out. Never to retreat. It's always to be one with God. And my divine will says, these acts have been done in my house, within my light. The rights are mine. The rights are God's. And there is no power, either human or divine, that can make up an act done by the soul in my divine will to go out of it and separate from the divine will. Nothing can happen. It's Jesus says, as you die to your ego and your will, as you live in your nothingness, as you live being little, insignificant, and hidden, he says, I am there. See, we want God to receive all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. He is our Savior. He's our King. This is why the acts done by Adam in the divine will before Adam sinned are there present as prime act on which depend the creation and the acts of the human generations. He began, he was the pump, if you want to say, that got the water going. He got this going, and then he lost it. He lost it. So Jesus comes, and he starts the pump again, and it's going. And now, 2,000 years later, the prime act, the prime wheel, if you want to say, has been given to a human born of original sin. This is what Jesus and Mary, this is the life of Jesus, the life of Mary given to Louisa. And now it's ours if we wish. And again, Jesus says it's yours if you can live in your nothingness. So he says very, very clearly. Now suppose that you went out from within my divine will. You go out and remain outside, but your acts do not go out. They neither have the right to go out, nor can they. Can they do it? They can't leave. As long as you remain in my divine will, your acts are mine and yours. But if you go out, you lose the rights as Adam did. And because they were done in the kingdom of my divine will and not in the human will, they remain as my rights. See, it's image and likeness of God, even though they appear and are known of having been done by you. It's the reflection of the little children, the holy divine will. This is what God is teaching. He's saying, I want you to begin to live a life that I originally planned for Adam. And when Adam failed, the new Adam, the new Eve came. He redeemed. Jesus redeemed us. May Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. And now the kingdom is ready. The kingdom is not at hand like 2,000 years ago. It is here, found in the little one and in anyone who wants it. Little by little until that great day event, that great event occurs. This is what Jesus is getting ready. He's getting us ready to begin to live this abundant life. This is a great time to be alive. Now you must know that everything that you, Luisa, do in my fiat shall serve as prime act, the prime priming the pump for the other creatures in order to live in the kingdom of the divine will. She's the one that's, Jesus says, okay, begin again. As Adam began and lost it, as I came to earth and to redeem humanity, now you, a human born of original sin, okay, it's a human that I have to give this to. Now start the prime act again, prime the pump again, begin this abundant life. It's begun. It's still happening. And the beauty of the divine will is the more that the people enter into the divine will, the more the devil knows his time is over. He hears those divine, I love yous to the throne of God that Adam did. And he stopped it. He hears the divine, I love yous that Jesus and Mary did while they're on earth. And then they assumed and ascended into heaven. And now with Luisa, these divine I love yous are starting again. And it's not just her. It's all the little souls who are praying the rounds of creation, praying the rounds of redemption, really entering into the sanctification. This harmony, this music of heaven is on earth. Jesus says, when you started to pray in the divine will, Luisa, all of heaven looked down and said, how can heaven be coming from earth? What has changed? What has happened? It was Luisa. And now what Jesus is teaching us, especially in the rounds, and if you can get luisapicaretta.me, if you can get the rounds of Easter and Pentecost, you're going to be in heaven. If you can learn how to pray the way Jesus prayed, the way Mary prayed, the way they taught Luisa, everything's going to change. Great things are going to happen. God's doing this. So he says, now you must know that everything that you, Luisa, do in my fiat shall serve as prime act, the pumping of the new era for the other souls in order to live in the kingdom of the divine will as order, regime, and life of those souls. And Jesus says this, who must live in my divine will. That's us. The souls shall live in the kingdom of my fiat. This is why I exhort you, Luisa, so much in your praying, in your round in the divine will. Learn how to pray the round of creation. Learn how to pray the round of redemption. It's glory. It's really glorious. And somebody says to me, there's so much. Oh yeah, there's so much. The book is there so that we can begin to learn how to pray in the divine will. Okay. And It's all day long. You're learning how to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God as if you were in heaven, as if you were in the Garden of Eden. And everything becomes the Garden of Eden all around you. Everything becomes heaven around you. Wait till God shows you that. That's so, so amazing. He says, praying your round in the divine will, I, God, watch over you. I, God, accompany you. And many times, I, God, do it together with you. You're going to experience this as you learn how to pray the rounds. God watches over us. God accompanies us. God does it together with us. It's heaven. He says this, because not only do they serve you, but they must serve as prime acts and as models for all those souls who must live in the kingdom of my divine fiat. That's us. This must isn't a hope. It is a certitude. It isn't, oh, please, 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 please. No, Jesus says, this is why I created you, to live this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, now on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. God wants us to begin to let go of our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our doubts, and begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness, to begin this life of heaven. So Jesus says this, 5:26, 7:8, 19:29. My daughter, calm yourself. I am here within you. One of the things that, especially this Ascension Thursday, when we make this vow of victimhood, we want to make this vow of victimhood so that we are dying to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. I don't want to live that life anymore. I want, my victimhood is going to live in the divine will, to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness, to be filled with confidence with God, trust in God, hope in God, to live in the divine will, as he teaches Louisa. So this victimhood is no, so the consequences of the victimhood of living in the divine will is peace, joy, and happiness. It's heaven. Now on earth before we die. I am with you. I am here within you. We want to make our heart the throne of Jesus. We want Jesus to reign in us. I want you to breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, sing in my singing, dance in my dancing. I want you to be the Lord of everything in my life. Jesus says this, but I am with you. Leave the work field free for my divine will. I want everything to be the divine will. And since as the prime act in you, Louisa, it happens that you perceive what it does within you. See, that's what's going to happen to us. We're going to perceive this. It's crafty. While you do not feel who I am. Sorry, that was a tough one. Inside of it. I am already with it in its work. In fact, I am, he uses his name, inseparable from my divine will. And whatever it does, I, God, do in you. You see what God is doing? He's freeing us from worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's more than when Peter was walking on the water. Peter walked on the water. He said to Jesus, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. He gets out of the boat and he walks on water. A divine act done by a human. And then when he began to be afraid, Jesus saved me. Jesus grabs him and he didn't go, good job, Pete. You walked 20 feet and then you began to sink. He said, where's your faith? Why did you falter? What's wrong with you? See, Jesus is showing us that we are called to be divinized, as Peter says in his epistle, not to become gods, but to share in divinity. It's very, very close. Very, very close. This is what's so great. It's so close you can taste it. I who am inside of it, I am already with it in its work. In fact, I am inseparable from my divine will, and whatever it does in you, I do in you. 5:26, 7:24, 19:29. How the divine will holds primary act over all created things. It is like the head over its members. My daughter, my divine will with its immensity has always been present in the midst of creatures because by its own nature, there is not one point in which it is not present. The creatures cannot do without it. It would be like being unable to have or receive life without my divine will. All things would resolve into nothing. More so, since the prime act of all created things is my divine fiat, it is like the head to the members. And if one says, I can live without a head, it would be impossible for him. The mere thinking of it is the greatest of follies. However, reigning is one thing. It is to be recognized, loved, and longed for. So this reigning of the divine will, Jesus says in the book of heaven, is to recognize it. This is why we're reading. Love it. This is why we're reading. Longing for it. It's coming. To hang upon it, like the members hang upon the head. This is the reigning. Whereas being in the midst of creatures is not reigning if one does not hang completely upon this great gift of the divine will. It has to become our life, our light. It has to become everything, our love. If my divine will does not live on earth as it does in heaven, it cannot be said that it has its kingdom in the midst of souls, in the midst of creatures. Therefore, in the time of its kingdom, it shall be present not only in their midst, but inside each soul, each one of them, as perennial life. So what Jesus is going to bring upon us, it's not a communion for 15 minutes, but a perennial communion with God, never to be separated from God. And in order for this to come, it must be recognized. How it is like head and primary life of each creature, because this head is not recognized, the divine will is not recognized, its strength, its sanctity, its beauty does not flow to the members, nor can it let its noble and divine blood flow in their veins. Jesus wants his blood, Mary's blood, to noble and divine blood to flow in our veins. He wants to reign in us. And therefore, the life of heaven cannot be seen in creatures. All we see in creatures today is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Jesus is saying, stop it. Let my blood flow in your veins. Let my mother's blood flow in your veins. Watch about this divine nobility that I'm going to give back to humanity. I want it to begin. It's begun in Louisa, and it's begun in the souls, not the fullness yet. The fullness is coming because Jesus says, now how do we know this? Because Jesus says, I want to give the divine will to, when I find the souls who want the divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world, which means he hasn't found anybody yet. He's waiting for us to be the ones to say fiat. He's really waiting for us. Volume 26, 7:30, 1929. My daughter, what difference between those who operate with virtues in a saintly way, in the human order, and the soul, the one, who operates the virtues in a divine order of my divine will. As the first ones practice the virtues, they remain separated among themselves in such a way that the diversity of their acts appears. One virtue appears as patience, another as obedience, a third one as charity. Each of them has its distinction, unable to fuse together, so as to be able to form one single act that gives of the divine and embraces eternity and infinity. Okay, he's talking about the saints. On the other hand, for the soul who operates in my divine will, its light has the communicative and unifying virtue such that fusing together, because they are all done within the source of its light, they form one single act with its innumerable effects, such as to embrace the very creator with the infinity of its light, sharing in divinity. So Jesus is saying, wait till you see what he's going to bring about. He's got this planned. He knows the time that it's going to happen, but we know the time is short because of everything that's happening. God is getting us ready. Get ready for what God is going to do. So he says very, very clearly, Volume 26, 9:4, 1929. Who can tell you the great good, the most refulgent day that's coming, that an act of my divine will produces over the creature? This great and glorious day is at hand. It's coming. With its continuous act, it produces all goods and happiness in time and in eternity, on earth and in heaven. Therefore, be attentive. Enclose all of yourself within a single act of my divine will. So he's teaching us, this is what you got to learn. Enclose within yourself the single act of my divine will. Okay. Never go out of it. So he's saying, discipline yourself. If you want to live happy and have your power, in your power, the life of the light of the new day that never sets. That's what's coming. God is getting us ready. An act of my divine will is everything for the creature. With its continuous act that never ceases, that never changes, and more than a tender mother, it keeps the soul who abandoned herself in its act of light, clasped to its breast and nourishing her with light, with life, with love. It raises her as a birth from itself, noble, holy, and keeps her sheltered within its very light. This light of God, this life of God, this love of God is ours if we wish. Again, great things are happening. One of the things that's important is if you can get to Rome City on August 15th, it's going to be amazing. Let me just put it that way. If you don't know about Rome City, check it out. It's something that will really astonish you. Rome City, Indiana. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray for all the little children, the holy divine will, to be divinely healed. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful day today, and get ready for Ascension Thursday. Get ready to make this vow. You'll be astonished by it too. God bless you.